Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
How you doing today, Doug?
You buying drinks at the Main Street Pub today to celebrate our country's birthday?
I am. I'm going to get some a red, white, and blue margarita. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me, buddy. No floaters for me, though. I gotta steer this ship. I'm driving.
Okay. Somebody got to be responsible.
Absolutely. One frozen margarita. What is it? A centennial margarita, as it's easy to say. Bicentennial.
Yeah, there you go. Centennial or bicentennial.
Yes, there you go. But happy birthday to our big, great country, right, Dan?
Yep. Happy birthday, Uncle Sam.
There you go. Until tax time.
Yeah, then we hate him, right?
Yeah, exactly. So how you doing, my friend? Have you been eating? Have you been eating good at least for the 4th?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And my son come up from the city, and the chef and the family, and spending some time with us, so that's good. And bought some steaks and stuff, and going to have a little cookout today, and everything's good.
Yeah, and I don't know. We ate good. We've been hot dogs, hamburgers. My wife loves them, but hates them at the same time. She don't want us eating them.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was just thinking yesterday, I haven't had a hot dog in so long, and for the reasons you just said, you know, 4th of July, everybody usually does the dogs and burgers. And I said, man, I could go for a hot dog. I don't think I'm going to do it, but I could go for one.
Yeah, I got Acme had them, buy one, get one free. The ballparks, the super long ones, the bun size ones.
Yes.
It's been like, it's happy times over here because I'm not allowed to have them.
Right.
I remember back in the day with doing construction. When we first started dating, I would eat a hot dog in the morning on the way to work.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
She's like, how do you eat a hot dog in the morning? I'm like, hon, it's like bologna. It's like, you know, it's breakfast. I mean, what's the difference between bologna and a hot dog?
You ever do fried bologna?
Oh, absolutely. My grandma made it for me when I was a young kid. I still love it. Every once in a while, I'll throw it on and she'll give me the look, but I still eat it. Fried bologna. Eggs over medium, a little bit of toast with my famous hash browns. I'm living large.
Yeah, that's one of those things I remember from my childhood, having the fried bologna. It's so good when it's that sizzling in the pan. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yep. It's so bad around here, Dan. I swear to my wife has called all the local establishments. Because a couple weeks ago, I was craving Scrapple. And I know, have you had Scrapple?
No, what is that?
It's a Philly. It's a Philly, New Jersey meat. It's ugly stuff, but it's awesome. It's like everything in the pig that they don't use, they grind together into this, and it makes like a patty.
Kind of like Spam? Kinda.
Yeah, but no, it's better than Spam because it's real meat. Even though I do like Spam, and I ain't had that in 20 years, but I used to like that too. But everybody from the Philly, Jersey area will know Scrapple. It's awesome. You should try it sometime. It's an acquired taste. Either you love it or you don't.
Right, right.
But it's not good for you. It's fried the whole nine yards, but it's awesome. Well, I was in the mood for it. So I called a local diner, and I ordered it to take it to my job because I'm getting my job at like 7 in the morning, and I'm starving. I had to meet a customer early because she had to leave, so I had to get in the house. So I ordered a Scrapple. I'm all planning on eating it at the table in the morning before I start work. You know, I open up the darn thing, it has turkey bacon in it. I'm like, does she have all the restaurants? So I called. I was so mad because I was craving this. And I'm not a big bacon fan. I'll eat BLTs, but I don't do it all the time. So I open it up, and it's bacon there, and I'm eating it. I'm getting so angry. I had to call the restaurant to tell them, listen, man, I ordered Scrapple. So he told me I'm owed a free breakfast. Because I didn't like, dude, when you're planning on one thing, like if you order a filet mignon and somebody gives you, I don't know, chicken, you're just not in the mood for chicken. Even though you like chicken, you're not in the mood for it.
Right, right.
But that's what happened. So he owes me a free breakfast. But try Scrapple sometime. It's a Philly thing.
All right. It's on the list.
Yeah, it's more to this area than even the Philly cheesesteak, because cheesesteaks have grown everywhere. But Scrapple's more of a tri-state, Philadelphia, New Jersey, and Delaware.
Well, maybe next time I drive through down to Florida, I'll have to pull over and find a place that sells it.
Any local diner will have it, buddy.
Okay.
And that's right. That's one of the things I'm going to miss about when I move to Florida. Diner food, there's not many of them down there. Not like here.
We'll have to open up a diner that features New Jersey and Boston fare or something, maybe, because there's a lot of Northerners that are down there, so we'd do well, I think.
Absolutely. I'll drive the truck back and forth to pick up the fresh meat, because that's the problem.
Right.
But we could have fresh Scrapple, Philly cheesesteaks, Philly pretzels, and then
clam
Boston
chowder.
Yep, clam chowder. You know, all your good stuff.
Yeah, that'll work.
A little bit of lobster, your fresh Boston seafood. We'll be living large.
There you go.
Well, happy birthday, and let's move on with the news, my good friend. I'm almost done my margarita already.
Yeah, well, we took off on a tangent there, but that's what we do. There you go. Let's see here. Food and Wine Festival Marketplace kiosks are going to expand in the future world this year, and they're also going to be joined by members of the crew.
You mean for the Chew?
The crew. The Chew is the crew.
Yeah, the Chew, buddy. I know that by heart. That's my wife's favorite show.
Looking at Mario Batali here with his orange Crocs on.
I hear you.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, he's cool. Super cool with the Crocs. I pick on him every day, but that's him.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, they're going to expand in the future world for this year's food and wine celebration. And this is the 20th year of the Food and Wine Festival. Wow, I can't believe it already. But one of the ways they're going to celebrate this, they're going to do something a little bit different, being that the Chew is on ABC. It makes sense that Disney would get them down there. And the Chew consists of Mario Batali, Michael Simon, Clinton Kelly, Carla Hall, and Daphne Oz. And they will all be taping shows from Epcot. So those of you that are foodies, like you are, Doug, this is a nice add to the festival this year. And if you can get down there during that time, it'd be a good take.
We've made meals from every one of them. The favorite saying around our house is, Michael Simon says, when we're cooking all the time, my wife goes, Michael Simon says. I'm like, well, okay, honey. Stop already with the Michael Simon says. But, yeah, that's what everything we're cooking. He said to dab this. He said to move. Oh, no, you should never salt that before. Michael Simon says. But it's funny now. I joke with her all the time about it.
Yeah, everybody has their, you know, favorite chef or celebrity chef, I guess you'd call it in this case. And I remember back, you know, my son was still living at home, you know, Emeril was the gospel, you know, whatever he said went, and, you know, you just kind of get into that. But anyways, yeah, they're going to tape these shows on October 7th, 8th, and 9th. There'll be a live audience. Doesn't say here what the venue is, so I don't know if they're going to set up, you know, I'm assuming somewhere in Epcot, maybe in the festival center. And if they do...
I was going to think it was going to be, but I guess because that's coming back, maybe they could put them in where, whatchamacallit, Michael Jackson is.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't think so.
No, but I was hoping.
Yeah, my guess it'll be in the festival center, which is good and bad. It's good that it's out of the weather, air conditioned and all that good stuff. But the bad thing about that, as popular as this show is, I bet you it's going to be very difficult to get a ticket because the seating capacity for most of those little, you know, show areas, if you will, are very, very limited, maybe 100 people, something like that. So maybe they'll take it outside. I was kind of thinking maybe something like when they used to, I guess they still do, when the guys from ESPN go down there at the studios, they set up a, you know, kind of like a desk, if you will, outside, and then people can stand around and watch.
Yeah, because they do the same thing. That's what I was going to say. They might set something up around the fountains, because it's going to be in Future World, in the center of World, in the center of Future World there.
Right, right.
Like they do with, know how Michael and Kelly go down there?
Yep.
And they're at the Magic Kingdom right in the front by where the train, where the right in front of the train station, all in front of
Right.
Main Street.
Yep.
I bet you this is going to be so big. I bet you they set something up in the middle of Future World because they're announcing this kind of like this is the centerpiece of the show anyway.
And let's see. It says visit thechew.com for information on how to obtain tickets. And it does say that they're going to get 5 episodes out of it. So I guess they're filming 3 days, but they're going to get 5 episodes, which will air on October 12th through 16th. So if you can't get down there and you still want to see what it's all about, at least you'll be able to see the shows, taped. Even though they're taped, and you'll still be able to see it because the chances of somebody's vacation falling on these specific dates, the 7th, 8th, and 9th, are not too likely. Unless you're on the borderline of going and you book a trip just to go for this, which I'm sure some people will do.
Yeah, well, we're thinking about it. I actually got on the Disney website, and to be honest with you, I was having problems finding availability for travel agent rates.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
there was only one place I could get right now was a Caribbean Beach, a pirate room. Hey,
wow.
Matey, I get to see me and my wife in a pirate room.
Yeah, I mean, as we all know, food and wine is very, very popular. So that doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's getting close here. We're getting to be under 100 days for our trip, and I know if you do end up going, you'll be just fine at Caribbean Beach or wherever else you can get a place.
I thought about trying there, or maybe calling our friends at the B or Linda to lead if I could get a family vacation going.
Yeah, there you go. There's always other options.
It's just finding days. Hopefully we could figure it out because we're short on days this year. But we'll see what happens. But I was even thinking about doing, maybe not this year, but next year. I was trying to maybe, I'm thinking about getting Elite, rent a house, and tell everybody instead of doing the whole Christmas deal, because we've done this before, let's just rent the house in Florida and all go to Disney World for Christmas.
Yeah, we've never done that either, and that sounds like an awesome idea. So let me know the date so we can come down.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, not a problem. I'm thinking not this year, but I'm thinking maybe next year.
Yeah.
Get the family together, my brother, my sister-in-laws and all, and talking to everybody. And I'm thinking about talking to Linda from Elite and renting a house from her, and we could do a whole Christmas thing and stay together in a house. Because we already did, 4 or 5 years ago, we did the Christmas thing. Me, my brother-in-law, and sister-in-law and all, we went down. That was our Christmas present to each other. My mother-in-law went.
Right.
Best
right.
Christmas I had.
Yeah. I mean, our
one of the
is,
best, you know.
Yeah. No, it's different. I mean, everyone, at least up here in the Northeast, we love the traditional Christmas with snow and all that. But we've talked about, doing just what you just said, getting the whole family together and going down to Florida for a week or 10 days and enjoying all the Christmas stuff. Because like I've said, I've never seen the Osborne lights. I've never seen any of the Christmas decorations because we love food and wine so much that we're usually been there and gone by the time that they break out all that stuff. So it's definitely on my radar as well.
Absolutely. It'd be nice. The kids, I mean, your kids are older now, where just doing a vacation would probably be the same expensive. Them buying you stuff, you buying them stuff. And you, how many t-shirts can you have? And you already have everything you need. I'd rather spend the time together.
Right, and that's more precious than anything, and you're absolutely right. You can forego the, as nice as it is to get gifts and all that stuff, but you're right, Doug. I mean, what do you really, really need, T-shirts and underwear, socks, what do you need?
Exactly, and my least favorite expression now that I hate that everybody says it. At the end of the day, what matters is time. You can't take any of that stuff with you.
No, that's true, and that's my, the last 5 or 6 years I've really been taking to that motto, and it's so true.
Yep, spend time with your family, enjoy them. I mean, that's the whole deal. So and there's no place better than the Magic Kingdom and Disney World to be spending time with the family.
Yeah, no
doubt
about that.
There's something for everybody there.
Absolutely. Okay, so next item. Frozen Bibbidi Bobbidi boutique type experience is coming to Frozen Summer Fun at Disney Hollywood Studios, and I'm surprised it took them this long to do this. But yeah, they're planning to add this experience at the Hollywood Studios as part of the Frozen Summer Fun. No specific details are available yet, but we've been told casting is currently underway for the Fairy Godmother in training equivalent roles. So this sounds like it's going to be rolled out as soon as they square away all the cast members. And if they don't have it up and running this year, certainly next year, this will be a staple of the, the summer fun program.
Well, I promise everybody, if I get down there next summer, not this summer, because I know it won't be for my birthday this year, but I've been down many times for my birthday. If you can dress up as Sven or Olaf, I will do it.
So you're going to be a reindeer or a snowman? Is that it?
Absolutely, buddy. I don't care. I'll do it just for our show and take pictures.
There you go.
But you're... I think that would be funny.
Yeah, that would be it would be hilarious, actually. But
no, I'll do it for our listeners.
Yeah, anything for the listeners.
Yeah, I don't think Mr. Reindeer gets enough props from the show.
No, he is kind of doesn't play a vital role, but he's a good comedy relief, that's for sure.
He was my favorite part of the whole movie. He's my boy. He was determined.
Yes, he was.
Next piece, buddy.
Yeah, at Disney's Contemporary Resort, they're going to offer a new family culinary adventure. And this will be July 8th, so it is Wednesday this starts. It's going to take place at the Contemporary Convention Center, which is basically on the second floor in those ballrooms. It's a 3.5-hour experience. It'll take you backstage for a fun interactive evening that includes time with the Disney chefs, hands-on cooking, and a 5-course dinner and beer and wine served in the kitchen by the professional catering staff. It'll be starting at 5 p.m. 2 days a week, and this event is aimed at guests 9 and over, where the group of 30 guests are split into 5 groups to each man a station in the kitchen. Wow, this sounds pretty pretty good. So, oh, God, there's French here. I hate that. I'll have to get my son to help me pronounce this stuff. Garde manger. It's not manager.
But this is what everybody loves. You butcher in the English language or the French language now. Go ahead, my Boston butcher.
I always say, I can't speak English. Don't give me another language to speak. Yeah, but anyways, the garde manger is the French term for food produced in the cold kitchen, where guests learn how to make farmer cheese and scratch butter, and how to plate a gourmet salad on a rapidly moving electric belt in the professional kitchen.
That sounds Lucy.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Those chocolates coming down that conveyor belt, and
absolutely,
she's stuffing them in her shirt and everything else.
Well, all of our younger guests, Lucy was around in the 1950s and 60s when me and Dennis grew up.
Yes. And they still play the reruns. I always did like that show. Let's see. Also, you like this, Doug. There's sushi with sushi chefs teaching the art of rolling sushi and
sashimi.
This station may rotate with other culinary ideas. But speaking of butchery. Or a butcher station, what I just should have said, where guests learn to trim a beef tenderloin and to make the perfect filet mignon. So that sounds pretty interesting.
I know how to cook the perfect filet mignon. Now
yes.
I know how to make the perfect one.
Yes. Pasta with just 3 ingredients, semolina, olive oil, and egg. Guests learn how to make tender noodles from scratch along with fresh basil pesto.
Sounds good.
Then this is... bakery, I'll just say bakery.
Patisserie.
Where guests get to play with chocolate, mousse, and other sweet endings. Wow.
Sounds good. So,
yeah, once the hour-long prep work is done, guests are seated at the long table in the kitchen to enjoy the 5-course meal that they had just been preparing. At the end of the evening, guests will receive a chef's hat to take home, along with a Disney cookbook signed by the chefs.
Let me guess. $25 a person, Dan.
Actually, it's buy one, get one free. $5 if you pay them. Yeah, right. The cost is $175 plus tax, $125 plus tax for ages 9 to 12. Complimentary transportation, this is nice, is provided for Disney Resort guests in the book, you just call 407-WDW-PLAY. But that's not that it, you know, we can talk about the price in a minute, but not that that makes it that much more affordable. But it is nice that if you're staying somewhere else on property, that they're going to provide transportation to get you over to the Contemporary.
I wonder if they charge you 18% gratuity.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about the cost for everything we just mentioned? You think it's outrageous, or
you get something out of getting the cookbook, the chef's hat. If you get a couple of them, if you go with you and your wife, you could sell one of the chef's hat and the cookbook on eBay and get a couple bucks back. But you only would need one. Again, this is one of those things where I know our listeners hear me bellow this all the time, but when you live down there, this would be something that would be fun to do. But to do it on your trip, I don't know. For a lot of people, again, family of four, you know, there's $600.
Yeah, that's a little steep. But again, you'd have to look at it. So what you said, a family of four. So
if you have kids, I'm saying $125, $175, three bills, blah, blah, blah. But if you're four adults, you know, $700.
Right, and I'm just trying to rationalize it like this. If the say the four, you know, if four adults went to the Cali Grill for dinner, I mean, this is still going to be double what it would cost you there. And if you drop $350 on dinner, which is probably what you'd do, you know, like you said, you're still at $700. So it's definitely a pricey offering, but you know, there's a lot of foodies out there, and I'm sure this will do well. I'd be surprised if it didn't.
I would love to do it. I'd love to take my wife down there tomorrow to do it. I just, on top of a whole trip, I don't know if you could swing it in because you still got to eat all the other days. I mean, that $700 would basically almost pay for your week of eating if you eat counter service.
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
But I like all these extra offerings, these extra things that they have. It makes it it makes you want to keep going back. This is what makes Disney World so great, because they never rest on their laurels.
Right. And, you know, we all know Disney does surveys all the time, and they're always looking for that, you know, next thing, or, you know, what guests want to see or hear or experience. So I'm sure that this is something that people have been asking for. Maybe not this specific thing, but, you know, more culinary or food related things to do.
Because I'll be honest with you, me and Brenda, and I'm always honest with you guys. That's my biggest problem. I hate
He's
that
lying
saying
all
too.
The other time. Yeah,
I hate that saying too, man. I hate when somebody goes, to be honest with you, well, you've been lying to me all the time. Right. But anyway, I missed it. There was a ton of things I wanted to do. Remember the old Disney Institute?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was I had a whole list of things I wanted to do, and the next thing, the thing closed.
Right. Actually, for those that don't remember the Disney Institute, it used to be, where Saratoga Springs is now. So, yeah, they had all kinds of things like wine seminars and
cooking, culinary.
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't just cooking, but it was
animation,
adventure. I think you could go rock climbing. There was all kinds of stuff they did that
golf
you know,
lessons there. They, yeah, you name it. But it was cool. And I miss it. And that's where I think a lot of this stuff is awesome that they have, because it kind of extends the legacy of them teaching people how to do stuff down there. Because I was very sad when I heard that the Art of Animation or the Disney Animation Studios are closing.
Right. Yeah, that news came out over the last week or 10 days. And, you know, maybe I wouldn't necessarily – I mean, I'm sure it is closing, no doubt about that. But maybe it'll come back in some way as the park gets built up, you know, with all these new things. Because, that's fairly popular. I mean, every time I go in there, it maybe isn't a full house, but, you know, guests regularly go in there, and it is kind of cool.
The thing that I love about it, then, is when you're sitting in there, it feels like you're sitting in history.
Right.
That whole studio is just awesome. I mean, I love sitting at the desk in the studio. You just sit there and you forget about everything else except for Winnie the Pooh or Mickey, whatever you're drawing. Like my wife, when I told her, she goes, at least we have our poos from our last trip.
Right.
it was like a memorial. I mean, it's like, why are they taking – that's one of the things where I'll cry that it has to go too. I know that things – you can't stop the future of what they're going to do at the parks. But like you said, they should move that or keep that or mm-hmm. – it's too – move it. Maybe move it over to the Magic Kingdom. Move it somewhere because it's still the part of the history of the parks.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, obviously isn't a thrilling e-attraction ticket, but I mean, I can't tell you how many, afternoons over the years that we've spent in there. We must have, I don't know, a half a dozen, I bet, of the different drawings as the kids grew up. And we always laugh at each other's drawing and, you did it wrong or whatever. But and usually the animators, they're pretty talented people, and it's just amazing how, with a couple simple strokes of a pencil, how they can come up with these things. I've always enjoyed that. What would you say, maybe 45 minutes it takes to actually do your drawing from start to finish?
Half hour, 45, somewhere in there. But it's awesome. Like the last trip, Dan, I could close my eyes right now, and this is how much I love my wife. I could look over and see her drawing because my wife loves to draw. She drew our logo. She drew Lampy. She's a really good artist. She's awesome. She don't realize how good she is. That's what makes me mad. And I just looking at the happiness, like she was at peace, like because my wife worries about everybody. She's the family caregiver. She's always on edge. And it's just so nice. She was like so peaceful and in her element, if you understand what I'm saying. It was like her happy place. And I close my eyes and see that, and it's one of the happiest memories of any trip that I've ever had down there because she was at peace when she was drawing Winnie the Pooh. And she's so into it. She's like a perfectionist. She could have gone up and drew it for him.
Yeah, you're not thinking about, any of your problems, or you're not thinking about your fast passes or dinner or whatever. You just kind of have that 45 minutes to escape into doing something that, most of us either can't do or don't do in real life because we're not good enough for it. But they make it so easy that if you just kind of follow the simple instructions and add the lines in, you can get it looking maybe not perfect, but certainly you surprise yourself with how good it actually comes out.
Exactly, and it's one of those little things that is overlooked so much, but there are the things, and that's what I don't want to see go, is the stuff like that or the little things that make Disney World what Disney World is.
Right, because you bring home, like you said, that memento, not that you might frame it, but at least you bring something home that didn't cost you anything or was included in the price of admission to the studio. So yeah, I've always enjoyed it, and unfortunately, it's going away, at least at least initially, and we'll
Well,
see it long term if it ever comes back.
the thing that drives me nuts is Captain EO keeps coming back and coming back and coming back, and everything that was good goes away and don't come back. Like I know you're still crying over Maelstrom,
I am.
but it's just, and then you'll hear Lou on his show about Flights of Wonder and Horizons and all these, and they were the good ones. But this Captain EO, man, he just keeps coming back and coming back. Isn't it crazy?
It is, and the big picture stuff, though, I realize, time marches on and things are going to change. I mean, as good as things are, old things that we all love, or most things that we love, they're going to be replaced. They're going to be refreshing the park, and it even goes back to Walt in his early days. Is he, that quote that's out there, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but basically he said his park will always be changing and being innovative. And even if Walt was still alive today, I mean, his parks would not, I'm sure they'd be dramatically different than they are today, but he'd be ripping things out and changing them himself because he always wanted to go forward and not look back. So I guess you can't, Disney too much for, wanting to add new things and take the old things away because it's just the way it works.
I hear you, but I just hope that I just don't want to see them go away from anything get rid of interactiveness totally. Like that was an interactive thing. There's things that you can do that I like that kind of stuff. Like that's why I like Flights of Wonder so much over at the Animal Kingdom. I love stuff that are teaching you things as you're interacting with it instead of just sitting there like a dummy in a ride on everything.
Right, you can
Yeah, I like to
participate.
learn stuff. Like when you go back to Conservation Station and you learn stuff, hands-on, I like that kind of stuff. I guess because I work with my hands every day.
Well, I mean,
I'm into that.
even like the backlot tour, it had elements where, you could participate in the show if you happen to be the person that donned the raincoat and got poured on or water on you. But I mean, yeah, Disney used to have a lot more things, I think, that were
Interactive.
more you could participate in them. And you know, I guess maybe it takes more time or whatever, and they're looking to get huge amounts of people through these different attractions. So I don't know what the thinking is, but you are right. They're kind of,
just,
you know,
put a Frozen, put all off in them in front of the animation studios. Start drawing them. They'll have lines down the middle of the Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, I'm sure. In fact, you got to believe they're already drawing, you know, Olaf or some of the characters from Frozen. I'd be surprised if they weren't.
No, I haven't seen any yet. That's why I'm saying it. Have you?
I have not.
I think they haven't, because they. That's been in the back of my mind, and this is just me, the clairvoyant of the show. I've been thinking this for a while, and the reason, and that's what was scaring me about this possibly going away, because I kept wondering in my mind, why is nobody learning how to draw any of those characters? I know they're Pixar,
right?
But still, they, you know, why aren't there anything to do in the animation studio with Frozen? Because they want to draw attention to the place.
Yeah, not to correct you on the air, but I'm pretty sure Frozen was a Disney. Yeah, I don't believe it's Pixar.
Well, then that even makes it more. I could be wrong too. I go back and forth. They're Disney and Pixar is all one.
It is.
So, but anyway, it just blew me away wondering why there's been no. I think they wanted to keep that slowly going away because they didn't want people to be attracted to it because they knew they were getting rid of it.
That's a good point. And again, we, you know, maybe we'll find out at the D23 event. But I mean, with all the plans and rumored plans for the studios, I mean, it could just be coming down to they need the building or the acreage, if you will, to put all these alleged new attractions that are coming in. So it may be simple as that. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, because you know, if there was an Olaf. If they had Olaf or Dan or any of them, if they were Olaf would be probably the easiest one to draw. So he would be the one to do. But you'd see the line. There'd be a wait to get in that ride.
Oh yeah, and like we said, that'd be a great little memento to bring home, and you know, kids could frame it, put it on the wall or whatever. It would be perfect.
So,
but it's going away, folks. So we.
I'll be crying. I'm going to draft it for my park just to, so it'll stay alive forever.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Let's see here. Moving on to the next piece of news. The Disney Vacation Club is offering its members an after-hours neighborhood beach bash at Typhoon Lagoon this summer. The event takes place from 9:30 to 12:30 at the water park and is exclusively for Disney Vacation Club members and their guests staying at a Walt Disney World resort. There are four dates available during July and August with advance reservations required.
Are you going to be hanging 10 there then?
Well, no, because I'm not going this summer, but if I was there during this, I'd probably check it out. Let's see. July 23rd, July 28th, August 4th, and August 11th. Experience select Typhoon Lagoon attractions and many of the park's fantastic water slides. Rock out to classic beach party tunes from the 60s, inspired teen beach movie, and Teen Beach 2. Participate in family fun activities like the hula hoop spinning and limbo contest and enjoy delicious refreshments and treats. Doesn't say if they're included, but yeah. Advance reservations are required. Da 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 da. You can call 800-800-9800 on Disney to book one of these. And I'm always glad they're offering new stuff. And reading through this, it's probably not something that I would be interested in, but you know, any new stuff is good stuff. That's what I say. So that's pretty cool.
They know, you know, that how much they've taken away from DVC. You used to get a ton of perks. Now you get nothing.
Right.
It's finally them giving something back. And I just think they're trying to keep you out of the park for some reason.
Yeah.
That's the crowdest time of the year. They're trying to lure some people away from the parks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You'd almost think they'd do this kind of in the wintertime. I know they take one of the two water parks down for maintenance over the wintertime, but you think where, you know, they'd try to do something at that point, not in the middle of summer where I got to believe the water parks are probably at peak capacity most of the days that, you know, where the weather's decent.
Yeah, but they're doing this. It's my opinion, it's just to alleviate some of the stress of the parks, all the people at the parks.
Right. Well, it does say that the lagoon will be open past midnight, so I guess they're going to do this, like I said, after hours, or so most of the big crowds will be gone by the time this event takes place.
Oh, 9:30 to 12:30. Every park I know the Magic Kingdom is open to what? 1, 2 o'clock most of the time during the summer?
Yeah, I don't think the water parks typically stay open
but
that late.
That's my point, though. I think because they're trying to leave some of the crowds in the parks to draw them over there to this.
Yeah, that could be.
So, what's next, my good friend?
Yeah, just the final longhouse at Disney's Polynesian Villas and Bungalows opened the other day. And so that whole facility, the DVC edition, is fully functioning and available for booking and all that good stuff. So that at least that portion of the construction is finally over and in the rearview mirror. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. And also, earlier you spoke about Christmas time. Just to mention, it looks like the Osborne lights are coming back. Did you read that article?
I did, and that's a good thing, too, because there was a lot of rumors around there, or speculation, I should say, that as part of this massive construction that the studios is going to go under, that potentially they would move the Osborne lights. But at least for the next season, or this coming holiday season, it will be at the studios where we're accustomed to seeing it.
Well, if I was a betting man, I think the Streets of America would be one of the first things to go, wouldn't you? And
yeah,
I don't want to see them go, but they're really, I mean, I have some fond memories of back in there and that whole area, sitting on the steps with my wife, taking pictures, the whole nine yards, but it's really, all it does is let people walk back there. I mean, it's basically the best time of the year is when the Osborne lights is up.
Yeah, it's pretty much wasted space in my view. I mean, everything you just said I agree with, but, you know, as we know, they're all just facades and they don't really serve any purpose other than, you know, to give the feeling that you're walking down the streets of New York or San Francisco or, you know, whatever city the backdrop is when you're there. But I agree, Doug. I got to believe that stuff is all going to get blown out of there as part of this, you know, massive renovation.
Does this mean, though, that now that they're announcing the closing of the Art of Animation, I keep calling it that, the animation studios.
Right.
Does this mean that they're going to start the construction on that side? They're pulling an end around on us?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know.
If Osborne's is coming back, you know, at least for this winter, there's going to be no work on that side of the park.
Right.
Well, it'll be drawing people there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how they do it, how they're going to keep this park opened and functioning while all this is going on. But, I mean, they got to start somewhere, so I guess it really doesn't matter. But, you know, I'm sure all of these closings, you know, going back to the American Idol and all that stuff, I mean, you know, they have to have a strategy. We just don't know what it is, but there's a rationale behind what they're doing, no doubt about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's all kind of crazy stuff going on. There's new roadways coming in around the Magic Kingdom and the whole nine yards throughout property. I mean, they're really on a building spree down here, aren't they? I got to get down there, Dan. You got my hammer, all my tools, hawk and knife. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, construction is booming, no doubt about it. If you're in the construction business, I got to believe jobs are plentiful and they need all the help they can get. So definitely a hopping place down there for construction.
I got another good 10 years left in this body of mine. Why not spend it building a Disney hotel?
There you go. That would put the cherry on top of your career, right? To say you built that resort or that attraction or whatever it might be.
I'd much rather say I built the Polynesian DVC or a contemporary Bay Lake Tower than saying I built the Revel. Now, the Revel was 10 times the size of either one of them, and it's a beautiful resort, but it's gone.
Right.
Hopefully it's coming back. It looks like it's bought. The gentleman's supposed to be building water parks and everything else around it. I'll believe that when I say it.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to touch on a couple things here so we can wrap up the news. But Christine M. McCarthy was named Chief Financial Officer and Kevin Mayer named Chief Strategy Officer of the Walt Disney Company. So some of the movers and shakers or the management of the Disney Company is changing, and there were some people that left and some new folks coming in. So we'll see what, if any, impact this has on our theme parks down there, but some new people are in place at this point.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that means, but I don't think they're. I think they're just along for the ride now. They got to keep this freight train rolling with all the improvements going on.
Yeah, I mean, everything's set in motion already. So you're right. The decisions have been made for these folks coming in, but they'll put their stamp on it, you know, as their careers unfold. Yep. Let's see. The Gardens Kiosk on Discovery Island at Disney's Animal Kingdom has a new look and a new menu with today's reopening of the Flame Tree Barbecue. So that must have opened the last couple of days. The Gardens Kiosk, no longer the temporary home of the Flame Tree Barbecue menu, as instead features a couple of interesting salads and beverages. Let's see what this is.
My wife will be happy.
Trek Power Salad with quinoa beets, indami, I can't say that, citrus, followed by a farmer's salad with blueberries and goat cheese and candied pecans. That sounds pretty good, actually. Beverages include chilled green tea and cucumber mint pomegranate lemonade. So they went from ribs and chicken to this.
Well, at least it's healthy. It's not too expensive either. $5.49 for each of the salads, which aren't bad. The chilled green tea is almost as expensive as the two salads at $3.99.
Right. Yeah. So. And these little, you know, kiosk market, they're pretty elaborately themed. They look pretty cool to me anyways. But
The woodwork and all is awesome.
Yeah. So they're not going to get rid of them. And as we heard, I think, earlier in the week, I don't think this is a surprise to anybody, but Disney Quest to permanently close in 2016 to make way for the new NBA experience attraction. So this is, I had thought they might, you know, update this or revamp it, but it sounds like they're going to just, you know, either get rid of the building or gut it out and put the NBA experience in there. We'll see.
If I'm a betting man, with me doing this every day, that building's coming down.
Yeah, you would think, because you're right. It's a funny-shaped building. It's unique, or was unique to what it was. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. But those that were lovers of the Disney Quest, and it's been there since I started going to
97.
Disney.
97. So, me and Brenda did the rapids in there.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been in there, and you know, I have to admit, I have not been in there in years and haven't done anything in there in years. So not that I'm a big lover of the NBA per se, but at least, you know, I think I'd at least go through there and look around anyways, where I wouldn't even go into Disney Quest at this point. But things move on.
Hopefully the NBA experience has where I'm going and show off my 3-point range and give the kids a couple crossovers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it was interesting that they said that, you know, it's the NBA experience attraction. So it's, you know, going to be interactive in some of the ways you just mentioned, Doug. So it's just not going to be a retail store, but there's going to be things to do there. So that'll be pretty cool.
There's probably going to be plenty of things to draw you in, so you want to buy stuff. So it's a win-win. But, yeah, I just don't see how that building with the elevators, the different floors, all that's going to work. To me, and how dark it is, to me, the NBA experience is going to be a wide-open glass building with, you know what I'm saying, to go with the new whole Disney Springs look.
I don't even
think the facade of the building goes with downtown Disney anymore.
No, I mean, paint can do a lot, but I don't think it can help it that much. And
it's too dark. Everything's closed. There's no windows in it. By the time you start cutting concrete and cutting windows and changing the building, it's just easier to tear it down. I mean, dude, I've done, and now I'm calling you dude because I've had a couple extra margaritas here at the Main Street Pub. But the thing is I've already done where we've built a building and one insurance company bought it and they gutted the entire thing. Because instead of, brand new, I'm talking, people haven't even put their butts in the new seats, and they've changed the entire building and gutted it out. So I don't see the NBA experience retrofitting into that building.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, either way, it doesn't matter to me. Like I said, I'm not, you know, dying to see the NBA experience in there, but it will be interesting to see how they go about it, whether they, you know, raise it or actually just renovate it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it myself.
Yeah.
I like the NBA. I admit, since my Sixers have been so horrible the past 6 or 7 years, it's been hard to watch basketball and watch LeBron just move to whatever city he thinks he has a better chance of winning at. But
Right,
that's
right.
neither here nor there. I'm going to get all LeBron fans on me now. He's my basketball. I will give him credit. You don't hear anything bad about him. He's a good guy, the whole nine yards. I just believe in sticking with one team and staying.
Yeah.
I have loyalty kind of issues. I'm old school like that, and I know you are too.
Oh yeah. I mean, I just can't deal with today's sport. Any sport. I mean, they're all basically just freelancers, and they have most. Professional athletes that are on teams, they have no loyalty to the town that they play in. It's just all for the money. And again, I don't blame them guys, because if it was me, I'd probably go for the highest dollar too. But it's not like when we were kids, when players actually, really integrated into the cities they were playing in and lived there year round. And for the most part, most of these athletes just have a condo or. They'll just sell their house and move on when they, sign a new contract with another team.
He's just my Johnny Depp of the NBA.
Oh boy, he's on that list,
Yeah,
huh?
I was happy for Curry and my boy Iguodala to end up winning the championship. At least he was with the Sixers, so it was kind of nice to see him win. I
Yeah,
was
there you
shocked when
go.
they gave him the MVP. Now, done with basketball talk
Yes.
podcast.
Yeah, just a couple things. Again, this was from a couple days ago, earlier in the week. The selfie stick ban came into effect at all the Walt Disney World theme parks. So we covered this. It used to be that you just couldn't use them on the attractions, but now they've just flat out banned. No, I guess not in the parks. They're not going to confiscate it from you, but
I
you
wouldn't be
cannot use it.
surprised.
Cannot use it whether you're on Main Street or on the Splash Mountain. Don't matter. You just can't use them. And my guess is that the Disney lawyers got to working on this, or perhaps there was some incidents with guests getting injured or
That's what I
phones
bet.
being dropped or whatever, and they said enough.
No, I mean, it's enough already with the strollers. I couldn't imagine a mother with a stroller or a father, I'm equal opportunity here, having the selfie stick, the stroller, and running through, and they forget everybody else in the park is there. Come on, how many people do you know without a selfie stick in their hand run you over because they're not paying attention?
Yeah, this is so many distractions, cell phones and such, like you said, that again, I don't own one of these, so it's no big deal. I know a lot of people love them, and if I had one, I'd probably be more upset about this, but again, it doesn't affect me because I don't have one, so it's all good in my view.
I never got one because I thought it would be rude. It's just like, well, why don't you just bring the tripod right to the Magic Kingdom too and set up a whole photography lab? I mean, you gotta have a little common sense and a little patience for people. Because I was at one of my customers' jobs. He owns the local Band of Video, and it's a video store that we, I get a lot of my video games for PlayStation all from, and I do all the work on the store. I hung all the TVs, everything. And the one girl that she lives down there by Disney World, Dana now, she was going to me. She goes, 'cause she knows I know everything. She goes, "What's up with this whole ban on the on the selfie stick?" She goes, "It made me mad." I'm
Oh,
like,
boy.
"Dana, well, you got to think about it. It's the few that ruin it for everybody." I said, "I could see it now that somebody's been riding on the pirate's ride and they end up hitting some of the animatronics and lost their camera in the water and want to sue Disney because they lost their camera on pirates.
Right.
The other person's taking pictures and spinning around with their phone on the end of it and smacking people in the face trying to watch the, trying to take the pictures or watching Anna and Elsa at the studios with it snowing.
Right.
So how's that fair to somebody else? I could just see it now. Father has his daughter up on his shoulders, and the two knuckleheads next to him have the selfie stick spinning around and smacking him in the face as he's holding
Yep.
his daughter above his shoulders.
Guarantee you that's happened, hundreds, if not thousands of times, and that's something to do with why this ban is going into effect.
Enough is enough. How many times you've been on like Maelstrom when you're on that, how tight that line is, or on one of the real tight lines, and you got somebody trying to make space to take their picture? It's
Right,
bad
right.
enough when they're trying, and I help them out. I'll sometimes offer to take a picture for them. But
Right.
imagine a 3 foot selfie stick or a 2 foot selfie stick, and they're pushing you backwards. You're being inconvenienced to everybody else, and I guarantee that's what ended up happening.
Yeah,
All right, let me
probably.
kick this soapbox back to the corner.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. The rest of the stuff is kind of minor, unless you have something specific you want to bring up, Doug.
not much. It's just the new. Everybody should be look. I'm looking forward to it. The new D23 Expo is going to be out in Anaheim out in August. So I'm looking forward to hearing what comes from that.
Yeah, I mean, we're all hoping and thinking and praying that we get some details, perhaps on Avatar Land, and you know, maybe some more about the Disney Springs, and you know, all this.
And what's going on with the studios? I mean, the studios is the biggest thing now. Like, what, when?
Right. Yeah, I mean,
announce something.
They never announce as much as you want, but at least if they, you know, they can throw some tidbits out there, throw a little raw meat into the lion cage for us, you know.
Exactly. We want to know what's going on, but yeah, that's going to be out in Anaheim, so that's in August. And it's a 3-day weekend, so I'm looking forward to hearing what comes out of there. They're going to have some of the old Mouseketeers, the original Mouseketeers there. So I'm looking forward to reading all the stuff that comes out from it, aren't you?
I am, and I usually pay pretty close attention to that. I know that, Lou Mangiello usually goes out to those things, and he'll do his live, not blogcast, but... what does he call it? The box there. He takes the computer around, and you know, I don't have all day to watch it, but I'll, you know, pop it on now and again just to see what's happening. And he usually runs into the different events, and then he'll come back and report on what's being said and what's happening. So I am looking forward to it because you know, we tend to get some fairly substantial news out of these events that happen, I believe, every 2 years. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it runs August 14th through August 16th from what I have here. And I'm not always right, but that's what I have it down as. So I'm looking forward to a lot of announcements coming out in the middle of August.
Absolutely.
So to finish up the show, Dan, you want to just go over little things that we would have did if we were actually at the Magic Kingdom for the 4th of July? Must-dos, you think?
Yeah, we can cover that. Yeah, maybe this is somewhat news related, but you know, I can go over some of the things that they actually did offer over the 4th of July weekend, and then we can talk about what we would personally do. But on the 3rd and the 4th, they had the 9 o'clock celebration, I guess, at the Magic Kingdom called Celebrate America, and it was a 4th of July concert in the sky, and they offered this at 9 p.m. And the interesting thing that I found when I was reading through this is, and I wish I knew this, that the fireworks were actually broadcast on the Disney Parks blog. They came on at 8:50 each of the two nights, and if you couldn't be there personally, you could have saw the fireworks. So I'm disappointed that I missed that.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. You can hop on YouTube and see them because I just watched them. They were fantastic.
There you go. There's always multiple ways to see. In this day and age, you're right, Doug. You almost assume that you have access to these things, if not live, certainly on YouTube, like you said. Let's see. Over on at the studios, they had a DJ up on the stage until the fireworks came on. Then at 10:15, they had the Rockin' 4th of July celebration. So if you were at the studios, you get to see that. And rock and roll sound and all kinds of stuff, music playing, and a little fireworks celebration over there. At Epcot, they celebrated. They had Chip and Dale meet and greet. They also had the Voices of Liberty. They played at 12:30, 1:45, and 3. And last time I was there, actually, I don't know if you've ever seen this, Doug, but it was pretty cool. The Voices of Liberty actually went into the American Gardens Theater and performed. So as good as they are in the rotunda there in the American Adventure Pavilion, when they went into the American Garden Theater, they had more of them, I guess. It almost looked like double the normal.
It's like a choir.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. They like walked in from the back as they were singing, and I forget what they were actually doing. I don't know that they were patriotic songs, but they might have been. But yeah, I watched the whole show. It was awesome in that theater.
Well, the thing is, it's awesome. If you ever get down there during Christmas, you'll get to see them because they sang. Actually, when we were down there the first couple times we were down there, they actually sang during the Candlelight Processional.
Yeah, I've seen that on YouTube. They generally do, or some of the cast members that are in the Voices of Liberty participate in that show. And then, you're right.
And then we've seen them also. I told you the year we went down with my brother. We went down the day after, and they continued to hold a couple shows after the 4th at the Gardens. So it was
awesome.
Really good. They're incredible.
Yeah,
They're
I
like
mean
the hidden gem. They're another thing that they better never get rid of.
well, don't ever say that because you never know. But yeah, but anyways, as part of this, another thing that I found interesting is the they say expanded cast, and as part of that, the Spirit of America Fife and Drum Corps actually was part of this. So they brought them back, if only for a couple of days or a day, to celebrate the 4th of July. So if you've been missing them. Over at the American Adventure Pavilion. Yeah, you got to see them as part of the 4th of July offerings.
That's awesome. That would be awesome to see. Even though the crowds are ridiculous, you gotta stand in there and actually take turns going to the bathroom. It's that crowded.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Also, as part of this, they had Chip and Dale available. I think they're in their red, white, and blue vests and stuff. So you could get photo ops with meet and greets with Chip and Dale around Epcot. And, that was just a nice little show they put on. And, of course, they're still running the Sounds Like Summer concert series, which Don't Look Back was performing over the this 4th of July weekend. So that was sprinkled in there as well.
They're a Boston cover band, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
That's my
I'd love to
understanding.
see them. They're very good.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing them either. Then at 10 o'clock, Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. They have a 5-minute patriotic tag, I guess you'd call it, on the end called the Heartbeat of Freedom. So those Illumination fans, which I and you are one of them, you get to see just a little, patriotic spin on our beloved Illumination. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great because America's a melting pot, and that's the perfect celebration, in my opinion. All countries come together.
Yep, absolutely. Even though we're celebrating our birthday or, America's birthday, if you will, it's still a all-inclusive celebration from folks from all over the world, like you said. So again, just in general, they do offer quite a few things down there to celebrate the 4th of July, and we're going to talk about some of the things that we would personally do, maybe attractions or eating opportunities or something like that, if we happen to be down there during the 4th of July weekend.
Well, I'm definitely going to tell you where I'd have my lunch and my dinner. I already had that planned, but
All
the
right.
must-dos for me is, and you can elaborate on as I go, the must thing, you must see the Voices of Liberty and see the American Adventure. If you can get into it with the crowds or all, that should be on your must-do list because it shows you how this great country came to be.
Yeah, and I was just going to add that footnote, Doug. And this is one of the weekends, or at least the day on the 4th, that you really have a realistic chance of the parks being shut down due to capacity. So if you're not there earlier in the day, you may not get in, but you definitely don't want to leave once you are in, particularly the Magic Kingdom. But although I've never really seen Epcot close due to capacity, but I suppose it could happen. But the only good thing about that is if you're worried about that or you have concerns about that, just make a reservation at one of the restaurants at the park that you're going to be at, because even when the parks are closed due to capacity, if you have an ADR, they will let you in. So
Good
that's just a
tip.
little tip. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, make sure you book 6 months out
Yeah.
for
And
whatever restaurant because they're awful.
it may be hard to get one, but they're definitely, you don't need to worry. They're not gonna, if you have a Le Cellier reservation or something and they close the park, they're not gonna not let you in and then charge you $40 for not showing up or something,
Absolutely. But that whole area there, the whole American Pavilion, is a must-see during during the
Yep.
celebration. And at the Magic Kingdom, the whole Liberty Square. I mean, I'm sure that's even a little more packed than normal there because that's the most patriotic place on property, Liberty Square. Do you agree?
Oh yeah, with the Hall of Presidents, and then you have the I think it's an elm tree or an oak tree that has the lanterns hanging from it. And again, if you listen or read up, I believe there's a plaque over there somewhere. There's all kinds of things from early American history, and you can really get into it as much as you want. All the way from the Columbia Harbor House over to the whole
Haunted
square, like you
Mansion, that
said.
whole
Yeah,
area,
it
the
all.
and the stone, the all the col I mean the brick, the paving, everything is to that period. It's amazing. roam around there and look at some of the stuff. It's ridiculous how authentic everything is.
Yeah, it is. And even if you're going up or away from Liberty Square towards the Magic Kingdom, you get the Christmas tree, not the Christmas tree, but the Christmas, ye old Christmas shop there. And, even though, they're period stores, I guess, and they really, at least on the outside, they definitely go with that time period. And it's a nice place. I enjoy spending time in Liberty Square. If get one of those rocking chairs that are out in front of some of the buildings or something like that, and just people watch. And like I said, that big old tree there with the lanterns on it, that's an awesome looking tree. And I always enjoy spending time around there.
Oh, it's one of our favorite spots. Hall of Presidents. I know you don't see it every single trip, but me and Brenda do. I mean, it's a must do for us. I mean, that's one of the rides that, it's on her bucket list every single time where we have no choice. We're going in there. She likes to look at, because if you go in there, you never know. Some of the memorabilia will change. What I'm saying? In that inside the Rotilion there, where the, it's really awesome. Look at some of the dresses. The different things that they have on display there is amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, I know I've talked about this before, but they always have that gentleman or one or two gentlemen, I think, that kind of work there. Not kind of, they do work there. But,
they kind of.
But they're historians. I mean, they're not only cast members dressed up in period garb, if you will, but, I mean, you can ask that guy anything about American history or about, what states when we made a purchase or the Louisiana Purchase or whatever they might be talking about. I mean, the guy, this stuff just rolls off his tongue, and, he does a great job at staying in character, but also educating in kind of a fun way, maybe the kids that are there or adults for that matter. I mean, it's pretty.
I can always be educated. I loved American history, and you think you know it, and then you really don't.
Right. And then they have that presidential seal that's on the carpet there. And, it's a very regal place when you walk in that rotunda.
Oh, absolutely. Just the lanterns, and the shutters on each of the buildings, all the facades, how they're absolutely 100% authentic. I just love looking at all that. I mean, I know I bore my family when I'm standing there, at a building.
Right.
I'm just into that. I'm into architecture. I mean, the way some of these things were built back in the day, even when I'm in older houses now, when I'm roaming down the basements and stuff, just to see how they didn't even have footings the way the way things were made and how they stood, the test of time is crazy.
Yeah, they just threw a bunch of, granite or rocks or whatever and built right on that. It is pretty amazing.
Yeah, like the little signs that say music voice lessons next to the ye old Christmas shop and stuff like that. It's just, you can tell somebody where that is, they wouldn't have no idea. It's just, I don't know, the Heritage House, all those places down there are incredible, the gift shops. And I remember I told the story years ago, we were down there during the whole September 11th and all that happened. Liberty Square was packed. I mean, everybody was there. You couldn't buy more patriotic things.
Right. You probably couldn't get a flag if you wanted one, I bet.
Yep. So, I mean, and like you were saying, the old Liberty tree, that's just awesome to look at. Read the whole sign. It tells you all about the tree.
Yep.
I bet you 90% of people don't even stand there and read that sign.
No, they don't know what it is or what the lanterns represent or anything like that. And, it's a shame. And, again, I guess I would say that, a family going down there for their first ever Walt Disney World trip, I give them a mulligan. I mean, I don't expect people to start reading placards and you're so amped up and looking to just get here and there. But, for those folks that have been 5, 6 or plus times, I mean, at that point, I think that's when you can start to branch out and, look at some of this, intricate, building designs and placards and kind of dig a little deeper from the surface into, what Walt Disney World is all about. Because like I always say, that's the thing that separates it to me from Six Flags or any other amusement park. Yeah, there's rides there, there's attractions there, as there are in our local amusement parks, wherever we might live in the country or the world. But Disney World, it's just over the top with the amount of detail that's there. And if you ask questions or read placards, or, you know, just dig in a little deeper. You'll just be amazed at how much detail is there. And, you know, it's enjoyable if you're into that kind of thing. And I can't get enough of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, like the Liberty Tree. The first paragraph is, the original Liberty Tree, a stately elm, was a rallying point for the pre-revolutionary activities. The open space under its branches was called Liberty Hall, and a flag pail and a vetted through its branches with a hoisted flag, the symbol of, for action. And oh, wow. So it shows you, I mean, it tells you about the symbolism of this tree, and I,
right.
Everybody just blows right by it.
Yep.
You know,
It's true. Like, I mean, and I'm guilty of it too, believe me. I don't want anybody to think, oh, they, you know, Dennis the elitist or whatever. I mean, there's been plenty of trips and days that I do just what everyone else does. I'm focused on getting over to Splash Mountain or Big Thunder, and I'll blow right by it. But, you know, then again, I have taken times on certain trips when it was a little slower paced, or, you know, maybe I was doing a solo trip or something where I really sought out those type things. So, you know, it needs to be the right time to do it, because you're right, Doug.
Yeah,
you said
first trip, you're not going to do it.
Right.
Unless you're just like a husband and wife just there to take in everything. You're not a big rides person, then yeah,
right.
Do all that, because these are the things you'll miss. You'll learn so much. It's such a learning experience at Walt Disney World. I mean, if you just took the time, because that's what I did with my godson when I took him down when he was like 8 years old. There were the type of things that we and his father tried to show him. Because he was a history buff too, so it was fun for him to see all this stuff. But that's where this is where I came up with, you know, and I always say to everybody, slow down, look around, and enjoy the view, because you're passing so many things that mean stuff, like crazy little things, like the railings, like the wrought iron railings around the Christmas shop there in front of the sleigh.
Right.
They're all period. Like all this stuff. Like other parks are just, oh, you got 200 feet of railing? Okay, give it to me. They don't care what
right.
it looks like. Like, they
right.
have their own. They had whatchamacallit? Iron Man. What's the name of an Iron Man? I can't even think of it right now. The guy that shows the horses, the shoes.
Oh, a blacksmith.
Yeah, they had blacksmith make these railings.
Right.
Like, all these wrought irons are made and designed just for this period. And that's what makes it so amazing, the park, where if you really look at everything, you'll enjoy it more.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't recommend it enough. And as we were mentioning, our good buddy Lou Mangiello, I mean, he goes into detail in some of his, you know, the park audio guides that he sells. I mean, he'll go into all that history, him and Jim Corcus and some of the other folks that he has on his show, and they will explain to you. For instance, I'm just remembering this for whatever reason. There is a red stripe that runs down Liberty Square. You won't, if you look, you'll notice it, but the sidewalk changes colors, and it's, you know, just regular concrete or, you know, ground color in the middle. But on the side, there's like a red, you know, wavy stripe, I don't know, 3-4 feet wide, that goes all through Liberty Square. And what that represents is, back in the day, that's, it was flowing water, and that's where the plumbing went, if you will, from the buildings and stuff. And,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I was going to mention that, but I didn't know how to
right.
to bridge that gap.
Right,
you
right.
figured it out then.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, but it's true. And I never even noticed that. But then after I heard that segment the next time I went down there, and sure enough, there it was, hit you right in the face. You can't miss it.
No,
but
you can't.
All the times I had been through there, I just never looked down, or if I did, I just never really gave it any thought. Well, gee, why is that like that? Or why did they add that red stripe? And I'm calling it a stripe. That's not the right term, but you know what I mean. But that's the reason, because they wanted to make it as authentic as possible without putting running water in there, of course. But that's what that represents. So next time you're in Liberty Square, you see that red yellow brick road, or red brick road in this case, that's what that is.
Yeah, it's a whole sewer system for
exactly
Liberty Square.
Well, luckily, so, it doesn't smell like it would have back then, but...
No, now that you mention that, Dan, I'm going to tell you where I'm going to have lunch at. In
Liberty Square. What a segue, yeah.
But you know us, Dan. I'm going to have... Where are we going to have lunch?
You
have to have it.
You're going to go to Columbia Harbor House, I would say.
Exactly. Me and you are going to share a couple lobster rolls there. Does that sound like a good idea?
That sounds like it would hit the spot, absolutely.
Yeah, and there's nothing more American history than the Columbia Harbor House, all that in there. Now, for your roots, Dan, you should at least have some of the clam chowder.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll start off with a bowl of clam chowder. And, again, Columbia Harbor House is, it's got that nautical New England theme to it, and whaling and fishing and all that type stuff. And not that they just serve fish in there. There's all kinds of stuff, and we've covered the menu in depth on earlier shows. But it's definitely a place where, if you're feeling a little patriotic and you want to go back to our roots, that's definitely a place that's going to give you that feel.
Absolutely. That's where, if I was there for the 4th of July, this is definitely where I would have lunch. Me and my wife would share a lobster roll. I grab a couple drinks, and Brenda might even get the lighthouse sandwich because she loves hummus.
Right.
I know,
right.
You've had that but there before.
Oh, yeah.
They get the Anchors Away sandwich, which is tuna. Then you got, chicken, and they got the chicken nuggets for the kids there. So you can go in there, and they can still celebrate America with their nuggets.
Right.
Vegetarian chili. Have you ever tried that?
No, I don't. I've had vegetarian chili before. I've actually made it before, and it's not that bad. Yeah.
But you've never tried it there?
Not there. No, I have not.
No, and they have broccolini and peppercorn salad, which my wife has had that before. She split it with her sister. So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting dishes here. It isn't the same. It's a different kind of counter service, so I highly recommend it, especially if you're looking for something healthy in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you're going to get some stuff there that you don't necessarily get at other counter services, either in the Magic Kingdom or across property for that matter.
And then definitely, Dan, we have to do dinner at the Liberty Tree Tavern. Where else would you have the 4th of July celebration dinner than at the Liberty Tree Tavern? I know a lot of people turn this into, like our old buddy Scott, this was his family's Christmas time traditional, and Thanksgiving they would eat here at the Liberty Tree Tavern.
Right, right.
They were down at that time of year.
Yeah, and I know you used to get on him about falling asleep with the
the tryptophan, man.
Right, right. Afterwards, but yeah. But for 4th of July, you're right. I mean, I don't know how nice it would be to have a big turkey dinner and then go out in the heat and humidity. But if, taking the weather out of it, definitely, a pretty much not the only choice, but a very a good choice, I should say, to have a patriotic dinner.
Well, I'm going to read off the menu for our listeners.
Oh, good. You're going to make me hungry, huh?
Absolutely. We're going to start off with the Declaration Salad for the Declaration of Independence. Toss mixed green with house-made dressing. Just a simple salad. Then you got your entrees, which is the Patriot Platter. Roast turkey breast, carved beef, sliced pork with traditional accompaniments, and mixed greens with house-made dressing, which sounds good. Then for dessert, you got your Johnny Appleseed cake. Come on now. Don't get any better than that, does it?
No.
Tavern-made white cake filled with apples and dried cranberries topped with ice cream. I'm on board. Good old Johnny Appleseed. Now, and then they have their normal beverages, which is Coke, Sprite, root beer, light promenade, lemonades, coffee, regular or decaf, hot tea, hot cocoa, 1% milk, low-fat chocolate and iced tea, bottled water or sparkling. They charge an extra $4.75. Ain't that nice one? You want a cappuccino? $4.19. And espresso, $3.69 on top of your bill. Then they have specialty beverages, which, have you ever tried the Patriot Punch?
I have not.
Enjoy a frozen beverage served with a tavern keeper collector mug. $8.19.
What a bargain.
Absolutely. And then they have the glowing character punch. It's a light lemonade punch served with a souvenir cup of glowing Disney character. And it's called it has a clip on light. That's for $4.99. And the meal it's $31.99 to $38.33, which we know at 4th of July, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm guaranteeing almost that it's $38.33 for adults on 4th of July.
Yeah, you can count on that.
And then kids 3 through 9 is $15.99 through $19. Where do they come up with $19.16?
I don't know.
I mean, holy moly. And you get your non-alcoholic beverages included. So, I mean...
Yeah.
It would be, but that's where we would eat dinner then, and then this is what we're going to do. After we're done eating our Johnny Appleseed cake and drinking our Patriot Punch, We're going to go over and take a nice little ride on the Liberty Bell. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, an awesome attraction to do, tying in with the 4th of July and the early days of our country, because those type boats used to go up and down the Mississippi and all kinds of stuff. And you get a good view of, you know, the
Tom
different
Sawyer
lands.
Island.
Yeah, and you know, as we all know, they have those audio animatronics out there and the guy fishing on the shore and see some Indians and, you know,
a little house burning.
Yeah,
all that
exactly.
stuff. It's a nice little trip. I love the Liberty Bell. That's a boat that I try to get on. My brother never misses it. It's his favorite, but
right.
I'm guilty of not doing that as much as I should, because it's a beautiful view of, you know, Splash Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. That whole ride around there, it's a beautiful ride.
Yeah, I mean,
you
can get
often.
Some great photo ops, you know, from a different perspective than when you're standing right up close to the buildings and stuff. So, you know, if you want to get some good shots of the Haunted Mansion and stuff, that's a perfect place to do it.
And then to end the day, then, the very ending, take one last trip on the Walt Disney World Railroad, which is what built this country was built on the back of the railroad.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is a great way. And, you know, take you from down back of the park up to the front and, you know, end your day if it's running that late. But, you know, that would be an awesome attraction to do as well.
Absolutely. Hop on the railroad. And if you left early before the fireworks, I'd take the railroad out and then head over to the Polynesian Beach and watch the fireworks from there.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Get away from the massive crowds and kind of get some elbow room and take it all in from the Poly. Great idea.
So that's how I think we should end the show. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I think we've covered, maybe not. I was just trying to think of anything else in any of the other parks. I mean, we kind of, you know, went through Epcot rather quickly, and we all know how much you love the American Adventure, but just hearing that song, you know, the eagle flying. Yeah, I mean, that'll
spread
definitely
your golden wings. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I sing that out loud?
Yeah.
Flying high. Oh, shoot.
You're ruining the mood. No, but anyways, that is an awesome, and even any day, let alone on the 4th of July, but even more so on the 4th of July, if you're at all patriotic, that is a moving show. And like I said, particularly with the music and all, you definitely, if you're not feeling patriotic, you will by the time you leave that show, that's for sure.
100%. That's a must-do. I mean, I say it every time. It makes you proud to be an American.
Yeah, and then right outside at the kiosk, if you're partaking in some, you know, alcoholic drinks, you can get your Sam Adams and stuff right outside there, and, you know, everything's good.
A wonderful funnel cake.
Yes, I'm never going to live that down.
But you can get yourself a funnel cake. But the whole nine yards is, and then the Liberty Tavern over there.
Right,
which
right.
I'll be honest with you, we've trashed it many a times on this show. Brenda would probably want a cheeseburger there again. She's drawn me in 100 times. But I really have to. I can't wait to get down there again to try their new diverse menu.
Yeah, they've, you know, after you called them out on one of our shows, they quickly changed the menu up. So there are offerings that are a little bit more, you know, diverse, like you said, and we should give it a try and then maybe re-review the tavern, because they are making an effort to kind of get some new offerings in there.
Absolutely. They made it, you know, showed what our country is about. They've spread it out instead of just making us look like all we eat is hamburgers and hot dogs.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's going to be it, then. We want to wish America and everybody a happy and safe 4th of July. And all of our listeners, be safe. Watch. We hope everybody was careful with the fireworks. And we will be talking to you real soon.
Okay. Later.
So, one last thing, guys.
Yes.
Thanks for all the – we've been getting a lot more reviews over on iTunes. We want to thank everybody who has gave us a review over there. On the next show, we're going to start we'll announce, you know, the last few reviews that we got to thank everybody. But please, guys, keep going over to iTunes and give us a review. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And, again, thanks and have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
America. spread your golden wings, sail on freedom's wind, cross the sky. Great bird, with your golden dreams, flying high, flying high.
Your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day with this faith.
40 feet down, 2.5, picking up some dust. Four forward, drift into the right a little. Contact light, okay, engine stop.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Tranquility Base here, the Eagle has landed.
Guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.